Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast. And today we've got the love story of love stories. These are your favorite episodes. They are obviously my favorite episodes also because we tell you stories of people that were just like you, taking a walk, driving a car, listening for some inspiration. So today, not only do I have an exquisite woman who I can call a client and now a friend named Lauren, who's going to be here to tell you her love story today, I also have our own Eileen Collins, coach extraordinaire, who's with us. So Lauren and Eileen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I am so excited. Ladies, let's dive right in. Lauren, we've known you for maybe 3 years. Was it 2021?
Close to that.
2021.
Close to that.
Somewhere around there. So right.
It was 2021. I just don't remember when.
Okay. And well, why don't you start off? You know, we've got a couple of marriages to go through here before you came to us. Why don't you just tell us about you, where you grew up, kind of what your first marriage was like, and then take us into when you discovered us.
So I grew up in Laredo, Texas, on the border of Mexico, and I did everything I was supposed to do. I went to school, I graduated from high school, then I went to college, and I was supposed to be, you know, this overachiever who went to school, dated, did everything I was supposed to do in college, but I never met the one. I never met, like, a lot of people I knew went to college and they did everything I did, but they also met their lifetime partner or their partner for however long. I didn't. So after college, I moved to Austin, Texas, and I met a guy at work. And we dated for a while. I thought, okay, this could be. And we got married. And it was one of the biggest mistakes of my life. He was not a nice man, just not a nice man. I don't even want to recall any of the things he did because it was so painful. So while I was getting a divorce from him, and I put him through law school. He was a personal injury attorney. And if anyone knows anything about personal injury attorneys, you know, they're not nice people. They can't be, or they can't do their job.
Right. Right.
So
right.
While I was divorcing him, I met my second husband, who was a commodities trader where I was working. I was a stockbroker, and he was the commodities trader at Merrill Lynch. And I just ignored every red flag that was out there. That's my own fault that I ignored them.
You saw red flags with him?
I saw red flags. I did. I didn't know they were called that then. I do now, but I didn't know. I just know that I did recognize it or them. And I ignored them. And we went forward and got married. And it was such a disaster. The best thing I got out of it was our son.
Yay.
Yes. And that's the only thing I can be thankful for about that marriage. When it ended, I decided I need to meet people. How do you meet people usually at work? Well, I knew everyone that at work because they all worked for me. And that's not where your dating pool should reside. So I'm not sure how I found you, Bella. I can't recall, but Smart Dating Academy popped up on something, and then I joined a couple of your seminars, and I liked what I saw, And I decided, you know what? I'm going to give this one last shot and we'll just see. I don't really think they can help me, but we'll just see.
I love
And
that.
2 years later, I did meet somebody. I didn't meet him through the avenues that you all recommend through online dating, although I was online dating after many, many bad matches on Match and many, many bad first dates. I have a friend who was just bound and determined to introduce me to somebody. And the first guy she introduced me to was, I don't know if loser's the right term, but he was definitely not a winner.
Close, close, close. Well, I'm going to back us up for a second here. So when you came to us, I remember you did one of our workshops called Dating Over 50, and Eileen and I are co-leading this workshop, and there's this beautiful woman from Texas and who says, "Okay, Bella, after the workshop, I might give working with you a try. This is my last effort into this." And I thought, "Okay, you well, first of all, we're never going to be your last effort. We're just going to take this one foot in front of the other." And then I knew, looking at you, listening to you, I am a matchmaker at the end of the day. So I thought, you're a really good Eileen person. And Eileen and I will have a great time coaching you together. So you now, when you started to tell the story of your friend that set you up, was that while you were working with us or was that before? Because I know you came here, you did photos, we did your profile, we gave you a skipper's push on online dating.
But wait, there's more. So
But wait, there's more, says Eileen.
one thing I want to point out, not only is this one of the recommended ways to meet people, so we always talk about the three branches. And the setup is one, like a friend knows somebody. So we meet somebody in real life, we go to the biggest cocktail party, online dating, or a friend, right? Like those are the three methods that we so happy that that was in there. But when you're looking at Lauren right now and seeing Lauren from Texas, right? And when you got into the business you were in years ago, trading, right?
1987, yes.
How many women do you think were doing that back then?
Introducing their friends to friends or setting people up?
No, doing the business you were
We're stockbrokers.
Oh, I was in an office of 50 brokers and five of us were women.
Right.
Wow.
So,
90-10.
yeah.
Yeah.
So we get a feel for how tough Lauren must be, right? To be in that situation. That's who Lauren is, right? That's
Yeah.
who this tough, beautiful, successful woman giving this one last shot.
Yeah. Well, yes, when I met you all, it was that. That was my total mindset was, okay, I'm gonna give it my last shot. This will be my last first date
So
at some point.
when I met you, I felt like I did meet this very successful, very tough Texan, right?
Yeah.
That's who was
I
showing
had
up.
to be. Yeah.
You had to be, and you had
I
been
had to
through.
be.
Well, not only were you a woman in a very male-dominated world in the state of Texas, okay, and then you've been through the ringer with two divorces. I don't know if the second was worse than the first, but let's just say neither was good. You knew there were red flags. You accepted the red flags. So there's going to be this element of being tough on the outside and being really gun shy also.
Exactly.
And like there's with that ingre all those ingredients, right? There's going to be trust issues. There's going to be, do I trust them? Do I trust my instincts? Like there's defensive, like there's some stuff to go through, right?
Yes.
So initially, I think there was a whole lot of focus on how they would be, right? On them.
Mm-hmm.
How they would look. Bella always says they come in an unexpected package, right?
Love always does. Ladies, we all have different packages that we're now partnered with than we anticipated, right? And so sometimes as we begin the process, and I think, Eileen, this is probably where you're going, even though we take you through a process of looking at who your dream guy is versus who your high GHQ guy is, it becomes hard to start dating in this different way where you're dating from the inside out. You're dating for how someone makes you feel. So we can go back and there's some regression to how does he look? What does he do? What is his income level? Yada, yada, yada. So I think that's where you're going.
I mean, yeah, all of it. And I think in the beginning,
normal.
Yeah, Lauren's, you know, focus was coming from a place of being burned, wanting a different experience, and looking on what she expected them to be like, how they would treat her, what they would look like, what it would be. But I saw this whole evolution happen in the length of time we got to be together. We had an evolution, even in our
relationship.
Where it went from, I think Lauren, like I think initially did something. Lauren's like, what's with her? Rightfully, by the way, it was rightfully. And I was like, oh, she's tough too. I literally remember saying to Bella, I would like to live next door. Like, I wouldn't mind being next to Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And there's this evolution started 3 years ago, right? And for those of you listening, sometimes you think, oh, Bella, all your love stories, even if you're a current client, it happens right away. Well, I'm here to tell you with Lauren, it did not happen right away.
No, it did not.
We did two separate rounds of a year, and year one, we did a lot of online dating. Ladies, what was that online dating experience like?
For me?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I had so many first dates that were disasters and so many online conversations that were empty. Mm-hmm. There was no outcome to them whatsoever. And I think that's what I started to understand about online dating was there's a lot of people online who have no intention of ever meeting you in person or ever going on a date, which would be meeting in person, of course, but they just want to keep this onslaught of what I consider texting now, back and forth and back and forth. And
not to say that you weren't going on dates. There were many men interested in Lauren, as you could guess. And there were trips. Like Lauren, I will say this, and I think part of this is the reason Lauren's story ends so beautifully, is even if it was sometimes deflating and sometimes she's like, oh, I need a break, right? She didn't give up and she didn't make it about like, what's wrong with me?
No. Right?
Even if you may have sometimes wondered or felt that way, there were trips, right? Like you would go, you would meet people, like you mm-hmm. put in your effort.
I did. I met people out of town, even though that wasn't my preference. I wanted somebody in San Antonio. Was not my choice, but I did. I thought, well, you know, let's just see what happens. Yeah. And if it's meant to be, we can work that out. I mean, I don't have any roots in San Antonio that would keep me here. And I expect other people are like that too. So I just thought, I'm just going to try it. What the heck? I don't have anything to lose. Yeah.
That attitude, that what the heck, no matter what, like kept going. And I do think that that was really important. I think that for some people, they can, without maybe support, lose momentum or start losing who they are or trying to be what they think the other person's looking for. Lauren actually got stronger, I think, in who she is, stronger and stronger in who you are, right?
Well, I think you had a lot to do with that, Eileen. I really do, because you were there to support me every time I was ready to cash it in, so to speak. And Eileen was there to support me and build me up and give me the confidence I needed to, okay, I'm going to do this one more time. I'm just going to do it one more time.
Lauren is hilarious and successful, beautiful, clearly, and brings so much to the table. So as she really recognized that, I think any defensiveness or anything that maybe would have started out was replaced with this beauty and this confidence and this woman who could look at somebody who behaved badly and be like, that is a he problem. That is,
yeah, that is not a me problem. Yeah. Right. And sometimes it's so hard to discern when somebody that we're on a date with behaves badly. Sometimes we think it's an us problem. Well, this is a me problem. See, I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. I'm not going to find someone. And at a certain point, you're like, well, bad on you, because I am a catch. And I think for you overall, it was truly believing that you were a catch and not tolerating any more red flags, period. And starting to...
I had had enough of them.
I had enough.
Yeah, so
you're like,
I'm
done. I'm done with red flags. I'm done with divorce. I don't need to do this again. And so yeah, you know, online dating can be a mixed bag. And I know so many of our clients have found people online dating, right? And at a certain point, we're here to guide the process, keep people accountable, keep them out of dumpster fire relationships. But there's an element of God or the universe that intervenes and says, okay, you know what? I've punched you in the stomach enough times. This is going to be your last first date. And so, and I don't know when that's going to be. All I tell people is through this process, I can guarantee you during your tenure with us, you're going to learn a lot. I don't know if you're going to find the lid to your pot, but I can promise you we're going to keep you out of dumpster fire red flag relationship. So online dating, mixed bag. You had some good dates, had some promising things, had some bad dates, had some ick. And now let's talk about some of the things that happened those last, you got match made a couple of times through a special friend of yours.
Yes, I did. And the first one, and she and her husband are very social in San Antonio and they know a lot of people. So she meets a lot of people. She doesn't necessarily know them well. So she fixed me up with this pilot. She thought he'd be a really good match for me. My brother's a pilot. Not full time, but anyway, he's a pilot. And she thought, sounds like it would be good. So she introduces us. And he turns out to be a really nice guy. We go to a wine club a couple of times. I love wine. We go to a wine club a couple of times. And then he just turned into a needy, really not worthy of me. Sorry, but that's the only way I can put it. He just needed too much attention. And he decided, he went away to go see his family in California. And he decided while he was away, when he came back, he wasn't going to call me. And I was like, that's probably for the best because he was just too needy for me. I'm a very take charge kind of person and neediness. And I don't necessarily mix well. So
come from. Men in your family are strong, and for you to respect and be in a relationship, I'm guessing needy wasn't the quality you were looking for.
No. And he was way too needy, and I didn't have any good way to get out of it. So I was really glad when he took it upon himself not to call me when he came back. So then Victoria gets on her bandwagon again, and she introduces me to this. I don't know how she met him. I really don't. We've never really talked about it, even though we're still friends and we go out together. I agreed to go on a date with him, lunch. I see this man walking across the parking lot to come into the restaurant where I was waiting for him. And I'm like, okay, well, he's wearing a nice shirt. He's wearing shorts, first date, wearing shorts and topsiders. That's okay. I can deal with that. But then he's got this big, long, blonde ponytail. And I thought, that is not the kind of man that I would pick to go out with. Just looking at him.
So immediately you're like, womp, womp. Like, yep. This is another non-starter. How long exactly. We gonna last? Let's go.
Exactly. This is my last first date. Glad to get it over with. Hurry up. Let's chop, chop. Let's get it over with. And then we sat there for 3 hours and talked and talked and talked and talked and found out we have a lot in common. He came from corporate America. His personal view right now, the way one looks at him, is because he got tired of corporate America. And when he retired, he really retired. I mean, he deep sea dives. He decided to quit getting haircuts and the ponytail. And he just is a very casual kind of person. But in talking, we discovered we have a lot of the same qualities. He had a professional career at Valero for 30 years. I want to say 30. I could be mixing up with my 35 that I was at, or 36 that I was a stockbroker. But I think he was at Valero for 30 years. And, you know, when he was done, he was done. And he decided just to be himself. And I was really glad that I gave him the 3 hours so that we could actually uncover some of the stuff that was underneath. And like I say, it turns out we had a lot in common. He went away on a dive trip 2 days later, something like that, and said, I'll call you when I get back. And I thought, yeah, sure you will. Yeah. But he did.
Because you had just come off the pilot who will call you when he gets back right. And didn't right. call. You're like, right, right. Uh-huh. I've exactly. got some swamp yeah. to sell you.
Yeah. Hope I gave you the right phone number.
But, I remember too, Lauren, at first you were worried, like, I don't like to dive. And I said, that's fine. Yeah.
You don't need to dive.
Things. He's not going to ask you to dive. You can just let him know you'll be in the spa when he comes out.
Yeah, exactly. And you told me that you were in a similar situation. Well, I'm not going to learn. And he took me to he works in a dive shop part-time. He doesn't need to. He likes to. So he took me to meet all the people in the dive shop. And they were like, well, so when are you getting certified? I said, never. They said, what do you mean never? Jim goes on all these wonderful dives all around the world. And right now, actually, he's at the Red Sea. Oh, diving wow. there for 2 weeks, yeah, because that's what he does. And I said, I'm never diving. I'm never going to get certified. I'm never diving. And they were like, whoa, okay, I guess she knows what she wants. And I'm like, I know what I don't want, and I don't want to dive. So he's okay with that. He's fine with that. He doesn't try and convince me to do anything I don't want to do. I mean, he has a great head on his shoulders. Like, we were going somewhere. Oh, yeah. We were going to Aspen with my brother and sister-in-law, and we were going to go see Sting here in San Antonio. Next week, we're going, actually, when he gets back. But Sting was going to be in Aspen, and my brother and sister-in-law wanted us to go see Sting with them. And I said, you know, seriously, should we do this? We're going in October to see them. And he's like, we don't spend much time with your brother. I think we should do that. So, you know, he takes the role of leader when he feels like he should. He's not afraid to at all. And I'm glad of that.
I love that.
How did he treat you on your birthday?
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. So he disappears on this deep sea diving trip. You've just had a great first date. Now, what happens? We gotta let the viewers know how this, like a good bottle of wine, we gotta let this breathe. What happens when he gets back from the trip?
Well, I didn't know when he was coming back because we had only met that one time, and he told me he was going on a couple of weeks diving trip. And I said, okay, who knows what a couple of weeks means to different people? It means different things. And one day my phone rang and I looked at the caller ID and I thought, all right, he's calling. And he did. He called when he got back and he asked me out. And I don't remember where we went on our second date. Truly, I do not. It was probably sushi or fish. I just don't remember. But at that second meeting, things clicked. And we knew we wanted to pursue seeing each other. It just happened. And so...
Wow. On the second date, you're like, I know this is a good human being who looks a little different than I thought he would. But when you let it breathe and when you talk to him and you saw how much you had in common, suddenly the attraction can flip over the line. Different than when you saw him first coming across the parking lot in his ponytail and topsiders.
Right, exactly. And so a different feeling on the second date when we were talking about things, and we didn't decide right then and there to be exclusive, but we just decided to keep going out and exploring the relationship and seeing if we had anything to develop. And it turns out he's got a son who's almost exactly the same age as my son. He's only got the one son. I only have the one son. And we just kept exploring and getting to know each other better, and we liked what we knew. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but after, I don't know, a couple of months, I'm not really sure, I said, well, you know, I've got all these matches on Match right now, and I'm thinking I'm not going to click on any of them. How do you feel about that? And he said, I'm not interested in meeting anybody else. I think we need to just keep getting to know each other. So it was a mutual decision, and I haven't seen anybody else since, nor do I want to. I mean, for what? I these people that I've met in the past and people who may call me from the past, I already know them. I know they don't have anything to offer me. They don't have anything I want. And Jim does. He has the heart. My family loves him. That was a shocker because I thought they're going to see this ponytail and just go off. Nope, they did not. My brother and sister-in-law came here for my birthday, which I know where Eileen was headed with that, but they came to have lunch with us for my birthday. And then they went on their way back home to Austin, and we stayed downtown where we had my birthday lunch. We were staying at the Hotel Emma, which since we stayed there in March, it's been awarded 2 Michelin keys, which are the equivalent of 2 Michelin stars for restaurants. Wow. They've been awarded 2 Michelin keys. And I just happened to mention to him one day that, boy, I really like the Hotel Emma. So he sent me a message one day after I said that. And the message was, here's the confirmation to your reservation for March 12th, which is my birthday. Suite is all it said. Well, I mean, the suites at the Emma can be one big room, which are lovely. I've never seen a suite like this. What the suite he rented for me for my birthday was a 3-room suite with a living room, with a door that shuts, bathroom, doors that shut, and a bedroom with doors that shut. I mean, a real suite. And when we walked in, it was outfitted with, there was a fruit tray, there was a wine tray. I'm a big wine aficionado. And he made plans for all my friends to come join us at a jazz club on the same property for that evening. And this was all on him. This was everything he did for me. It's the kind of thing I would have done for somebody, but I never expected it. And I was like in awe that, wow. He read my mind.
And he did it.
And he did it. He did it. And then he invited everybody to come to the bar at the Hotel Emma when we were done with the jazz club and come have birthday cake, which a friend, a different friend, brought the cake. But he invited everybody to come. You all come. And he just told the waiter, he said, just put everything on my tab. And that's the kind of person he is. He's like, okay, just put that on my tab. I'm taking care of it. And that's a big deal for me. It's somebody who would actually do that.
Who wanted you to like split gas just to go on a trip.
To go to the McDonald Observatory. Yeah. That's up in West Texas. It's a 6-hour drive from here. And the McDonald Observatory is a wonder of Texas. And yeah, we were in my car, but he wanted me to, he didn't want to help pay for gas. And I'm like, seriously, dude, we're putting the mileage on my car, but okay, whatever. That was a one and done.
But again, just like I'm highlighting the difference between how someone can make you feel, right? Like,
yeah,
kind of the gold for you was around, you know, the difference, I sometimes call it, between looking for a king and looking for someone who lets you feel like a king, right?
Yeah. And that's really what he does. That's really what he does. It's been eye-opening, the difference between the people I used to date and him. It's a world of difference, and he makes everything great. He really does. Everything is perfect. If it's not, he's going to make sure it is. He will fix it. And I don't need somebody to take care of me that way. I'm perfectly capable. But he takes it upon himself to do that, and I so appreciate it.
What would you tell somebody else if they were like dating fatigue? You know, they've been like looking and nothing was happening, and they just were like, I don't know if there's anyone out there that I would even find interesting, or where are all the good guys? I hear that all the time. Where are all the good men?
And where are all the good men at my age? Lauren, how old were you when you started this process, and how old are you now?
When I started with you all, or when I started dating?
When you started with us.
Okay, when I started with you, I was 67.
67.
I'm 70 now.
Which no one will believe.
I'm 70.
No one will believe. When you see the video, if you're not watching the video, if you look at the pictures on our webpage of this gorgeous woman, you'll be like, 70 where? I don't see it. So not a 70-year-old I've ever seen.
Right.
Well, thank you. And it's genetic, you know, a lot of it's genetic, but I'm thankful for my genes and I try and take good care of them. So it's just what I would tell somebody who was in my situation. Truthfully, I would take a break from Match for a while. And during that break, I would tell all my friends, look, I know you all are professionals, if they're still working. I know you all are professionals. I know you know people. Just start introducing me. You got to ask for the help. You've got to ask for the help, because it's not like it used to be, where you met somebody in college and got married and everybody was off to the races and happy for the rest of their lives. I mean, y'all are the exceptions to that rule, but that doesn't happen that much anymore. It just does not. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a sad story. The other day, I had, maybe a few months ago, I had found out that my sorority big sister, who fixed me up with all kinds of fabulous men in college, and they were, but nothing worked out. And nobody was ready then, when we were freshmen, sophomores, juniors, whatever we were. She moved to Austin, Texas, which is just 60 miles away from me. And I thought, you know what? I need to see her. We need to reestablish our relationship. She was wonderful. She introduced me to wonderful people. Her best friends were all men. I looked her up online to call her when I was going back to Austin, and her obituary was the first thing that came up. So I decided that was a sign for me not to sit on my laurels and not to let any grass grow under my feet and just continue to go forward with this, because life is too short. Yeah. And I was shocked when that happened. But a lot of the people that she introduced me to, they're gone too. And we were all about 70. We were all about the same age. And You just can't wait. You can't. You've got to tell people, I'm looking. Help me look.
And I love the message, Yvonne. I love the fact that you're saying, I mean, I'm of course sad to hear what happened to your friend, but life is short.
Yes.
And like anything else we want, we have to be an active participant, right?
Right. So, you know, I didn't know about Melanie when I first met Jim and he was traveling and came back and he called me. That the two have nothing to do with each other, but they kind of do, because I don't want to let this fall through my fingers or slip through my fingers and let it go.
Right.
Because he's got a ponytail or he wears topsiders or whatever, you know, everything else, I can deal with it. If we go someplace where he needs to wear a suit, he's got a suit. He wears a suit. You know, I mean, I belong to Worldwide Food and Wine Organization called the Chaîne de Rôtisserie, and their Christmas parties are always black tie. And I sent him a copy of the invite, and I said, "Is this going to be a problem?" He said, "No, absolutely." And I worked at Valero for 30 years. You think I don't have black tie? So, I mean, you know, it's just, what you see is what you see, but what's underneath is more important. And you have to dig for what's more important sometimes.
I love that. And Lauren, if you were giving someone at any age the advice and they weren't getting the results they were getting, would you tell them, do something different?
Yes.
Take your last chance with Smart Dating Academy.
I would tell them to do something different, because that's what I did and that's what worked.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I was never without a boyfriend all through high school and college and my early years out of college. I was never without a boyfriend. It's different now. It's different. You can't just count on meeting somebody by chance. You really can't. You've got to put some work into it.
I'm going to ask you this. Is this the best love you've ever had?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
It certainly is up there. He is one of the nicest men I've ever met. And I do love him. I think I'm still a little reserved. So I'm not sure, but it probably will turn out to be. I'm not looking for anybody else. And as far as I know, neither is he. So I'm not planning on finding somebody else after this. So I guess it will be.
Yeah. And it's okay to have those, I don't know, I don't want to jinx it, I don't want the other shoe to drop, but
right.
I can tell you, when we first logged onto the Zoom, I think I said, you look more beautiful than ever, and love looks really good on you. So I think my prediction is, this is your great love.
Well, we'll see. We're still, you know, we had our first anniversary August 31st. We were going to Aspen that day, and I looked up on my calendar last August 31st, and I was like, oh my God, that was our first date. So we happened to be going on this great trip on the anniversary of our first date. And I didn't really tell him, but when we got to the airport, we went separately because he lives about 20 miles away from me. So we just go separately to the airport. He handed me a card, and it was an anniversary card saying, I can't wait to see what life has to offer us, and among other things. And I said, you beat me. I said, I have something for you in my suitcase that will arrive in Aspen when we do. So,
aww.
And I did. I mean, it, you know, I did, but I didn't realize he knew that it was our anniversary.
How lovely, so, right?
Wow. And would you say he's an elevator person, the kind of person?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He tells me things all the time that I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go. We went to Cozumel just in time for that Hurricane Beryl. And when we got to Cozumel, evacuated and we went to the mainland. And so we decided before they closed the pool, we're going to go out to the pool. And I said, you know, I really don't, I'm not comfortable putting this bathing suit on. He said, oh my God, every other 70-year-old woman out there would love to look like you. And I mean, it was like, okay, well, I'll put it on and we'll go by the pool.
Oh,
and that's what we did.
I love that.
I mean, you know, he is constantly elevating me constantly. And I mean, I'm not asking for him to, it's just like, that's his nature. His glass is half full. He reminds me a lot of my father. My father was a really good man, and my father's glass was always half full, always, no matter what happened to him. And, you know, I mean, he was in real estate in the early 80s in Texas. Bad things happened. His glass was always half full, and that's how Jim is. His glass is always half full. And I really respect that and appreciate it. That's the kind of person I want by my side.
With no red flags. The holy trinity of dating. Is he an elevator person? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are there any red flags? No.
No.
Is the attraction building? Yes. You got yourself a winner.
I think so. I really do. I hate to make assumptions because we haven't discussed, you know, how we're going to spend our future. So I don't want to make any assumptions. I want to be on the same page.
Well, it seems
so
like
right now we. I'm sorry.
I said it seems like you are.
Well, it seems like we are. It does. And when he comes back, we're doing a lot of stuff together. I said something about, well, you know, I really don't know what's going to happen for Thanksgiving. And he said, well, I can make some. I'm gluten-free, not by choice, but now I'm gluten-free. He says, I can make some pumpkin cakes for you to take wherever you go. And I said, wherever I go, I thought we'd go. And he said, oh, great. I'd love to. So, yeah, last Thanksgiving, we were dating, but I already had plans to go to my brother's. He didn't have any plans. I went ahead and kept my plans, but my pups were home, so I had to come home to my pups and him. And he had fixed this huge Thanksgiving dinner for us to celebrate with the next day. And wow. So I guess that's what he thought he was going to do this year. And I was like, oh, no. We'll do something together, wherever it may be. And it turns out it's going to be at my brother's again. And that's the way it should be. He inherited it from my mother. And so he's going to Thanksgiving with me. So my brother loves him. Which was a shock, but my brother loves him. I'm so glad. Yeah. Well, they have the same political views. So that's part of it. And the rest of it is they're both pilots. They both have their private pilot's license. They have a lot in common. They both love Port Aransas, which is on the coast here, you know, in Texas. And they've got a lot in common, even though they don't look like they would, they have a lot in common.
Yeah. Hmm. Sounds like a common theme. Didn't look like you guys would have a lot in common, but you do. And now you're in love. And now you're in love. Oh, this has been, my heart is warm, dear listener. I bet if I could poll all of you right now, if we were on Zoom, be like, who predicts that this is it? This is the lid to her pot. I'm guessing every person would say, me. So, Lauren, I'm beyond honored to have been part of this journey with you. Eileen, how about you?
Oh, my God, ditto. And Lauren is so wonderful. I hope people hear and feel inspired by that not giving up attitude, the growth and the, you know, everything that you went through. They just will have like a little look inside, but it was a
well, there's hope out there. There's hope, but you can't just throw everything against the wall and hope something sticks. Yeah, you've got to work at it. And that's what you all taught me. And I'm so appreciative of everything I learned from you all. And especially on a weekly, every other week with you, Eileen, I'm so appreciative of the way you guided me.
I miss you at least every other week. Every now and then, though, we like to message each other, like, I miss you.
Yes, yes. Yes, and please let's not stop that.
We will not.
Well, we'll do a Lauren update in a year, and we'll be talking about all the new Lauren and Jim adventures. How does that sound?
That sounds great. We've already got some coming up, so.
Well, fantastic. Lauren, thank you so much for just being a delightful human being. And thank you for putting your trust in us. Thank you for making us your last ditch effort. And I'm thinking back to that first conversation and like, I have goosebumps all over my body. I couldn't be happier for you. And smart daters, I hope you're as inspired by this story as we are. If this sounds like you at any age where you've been rung over the coals, you know, bad divorces, bad breakups, whatever it is, there is hope out there. Fill your glass up, just like Lauren did. There's a lot of hope out there, but don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. What can you do this week to change something up in your love life? Do something different. And with that, I can't wait to see you or to talk to you during our next episode. If you love this episode, give it a 5-star rating, share it with your friends, share it with somebody who needs some hope, who needs a story that you can certainly find love against the odds. Until next week, I bid you farewell. And thank you, Lauren, and thank you, Eileen.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.